بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, yesterday we had discussed the incident of Dhul Qarnain, and we had mentioned the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or the incident. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had emerged from his home, muhmarran wajhuhu, his face had turned red with worry, with concern, and he then said to Sahaba radiallahu anhum that وَيْلٌ لِلْعَرَبِ مِنْ شَرٍ قَدْ اِقْتَرَبْ فُتِحَ الْيَوْمِ مِنْ رَدْمِ يَأْجُوجُ وَمَأْجُوجُ مِثْلُ هَذَا. Nabi alayhi salam said that there is an evil that is very close, or very difficult time that is very close to the Arabs. And then he explained that a small hole had been opened in the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And like this, we find, if we look into the ahadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on different occasions would try to conscientize Sahaba radiallahu anhum of the closeness of the end of time and akhirat. That qiyamah is close, the end of time is close, Dajjal is close. And we find here in the beginning of Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the very same thing, that اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. That the time for hisab, for accountability, has come very close. But what is the condition of the people? They are in a state of negligence, heedlessness. They turn away. مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مُحْدَثٍ إِلَّا اسْتَمَعُوهُ وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ. Allah says that no new reminder comes to them from their Rabb. And of course, this was while the Quran was being revealed. That no new verse comes to them, no new reminder comes to them, except that they listen to it, whilst they take it as something which is a joke, which is not serious. لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts are preoccupied with other things. And then, to this extent, that وَأَسَرُّ النَّجْوَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا هَلْ هَذَا إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Because they don't want to accept the message or the warning of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they now turn against him and they begin to whisper to one another and say that this man who is warning you is just a human being like you. In other words, he is not an angel, he is nothing special. أَفَتَأْتُونَ السِّحْرَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ. Why must you follow his magic whilst you can clearly see that what he is doing is nothing divine? This is sihr, this is some jadu, some magic, black magic that he is doing. He is a human being. He is not any messenger or any Nabi of Allah. And therefore do not listen to him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here tells us that the people of Iman, the people who follow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they will take heed and they will realize that hisab and accountability is very close. On one occasion, Aisha radiallahu anha had questioned Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam when he mentioned that man nuqisha udhiba, or man nuqisha al-hisab udhiba, that person who will have to stand for accountability will definitely be punished. In other words, every person whose account is taken will have to go through some azab. So she asked him, O Nabi of Allah, doesn't Allah say in the Quran, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, that there will be two groups of people, and the one group, Allah will give them a very easy account, and then وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسُرُورًا, they'll come back to their family, to their people, and they will be happy, there will be no azab for them, they will enter Jannah. So why is it that you are saying every person whose hisab is taken will be punished? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then explained to her that ذَاكَ الْعَرْضِ, that what you are speaking about is not actually called hisab. Although Quran speaks about it as hisab yaseer, but it is actually known as al-ard. Ard means that a person's deeds will merely be shown to Allah, just a cursory glance at it, and Allah will then pass it and allow this person to go into Jannah. But Allah will not look into every action of his. Like how a person comes back from overseas, from Umrah or some trip, and he knows he has things within his luggage that he is supposed to declare, or it's illegal, he's not supposed to bring it into the country, he has to pay some fine, and as he goes past the customs, they just look at his trolley, just count the number of bags, and they push him through. So that is called al-ard, that it is just a cursory glance, and the person will then be allowed to go through. But woman nuqisha, Nabi alayhi salam then says, that person whose deeds are looked into with detail, and every deed is scrutinized, definitely udhiba, this person will be punished, because his deeds will not stand up to Allah's scrutiny. They will not be worthy of being presented before Allah. Definitely such a person will have to be punished. So the dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma hasibna wa Allahumma hasibni, if a person is making for himself, Allahumma hasibni hisabi yasira. Oh Allah, let it be an easy hisab. In other words, let it just be al-ard, and don't scrutinize my deeds so that I am then able to pass through. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again draws our attention to hisab, to qiyamah, to akhirat. And thereafter in Suratul Anbiya, a verse has been mentioned which, according to the ulama of Aqidah, is known as Burhanut Tamanu'. Burhanut Tamanu', basically, if we simplify it, refers to that logical proof which proves the existence of one deity, which disproves polytheism, shirk, and ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very beautifully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this, so that any person is able to understand. لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا. Allah says that if there had to be more than one deity, or if there had to be deities other than Allah in the skies and the earth, then لَفَسَدَتَا, the skies and the earth would have turned into corruption, would have been destroyed. In other words, ulama say we would have seen explosions taking place on a daily basis. And ulama of Aqidah explained this very nicely, that if you have two people who are in control of one vehicle, and one decides to turn right, the other decides to turn left, or one wants to press the accelerator, one wants to press the brake, we know what's going to happen. An accident will take place. It is impossible that that car will then move smoothly and reach its destination safely. In the same way, if there had to be more than one deity in control, and as an example, the one deity decides that so-and-so person must continue living, and the other decides that this person must pass away, his maut must come to him, then what is going to take place? Whose deity's word is going to be accepted? To this extent that some of the misguided groups, they would then go on to say, some of the mushrikeen would go on to say, that we accept this particular verse, we can understand the logic, but perhaps they come together and consult with one another. So all those deities that are there in the skies, they have a mashwara, a consultation, and then they pick out one person's view or one person's opinion, and that is then carried out. The simple answer to this is that if they are forced to consult with one another, this means that neither one of them is supreme. If a person is the owner of his business, then he doesn't need to consult with others. The moment he has to consult with others, it means they are on the same level as him. He is not supreme, and therefore why should he then be worshipped? So this verse very beautifully, in a logical manner, explains to us the proof of Tawheed. And here, we're just spending a bit more time on this, especially in today's time, my dear brothers, this is extremely, extremely important. Ulama explained that perhaps when we were growing up, if our mother or father or the apa in madrasa had to say to us that believe in one Allah and don't ask any questions, then we were content to do this. And we said our parents told us this, or the apa told us this, or the molisab told us this, and therefore it has to be true, and we're not going to question it. And even if a person had to have some doubt, then the only avenue was to go back to that madrasa, or to that alim, and to ask him, and his doubts would be removed. Today's time, our youth, if we are just going to tell them that you believe, and we're not going to explain anything to you, and you don't need to understand it, then within a few moments, they will search on Google, they will come across the incorrect websites or incorrect people, and their iman can then go away. Therefore, it is absolutely important, imperative, that these logical proofs mentioned in the Quran be studied, be learnt, be understood, so that we can then strengthen our iman. Ulama of Aqidah are very, very clear that one is iman bil ghayb, and we know we are supposed to believe in the unseen, whether we accept, whether we understand or not. But for a person's continued protection of his iman, if he understands the logical proofs behind the existence of Allah, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will then ensure that his iman has that longevity, it will continue, and his iman will not be at risk of being lost. So this is what is known as Burhanut Tamanu. And thereafter, once again, our attention is brought back to the akhirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the weighing of a'mal and actions on the day of qiyamah. And we have heard this every Bukhari Sharif khatam that we attend, the last hadith of Bukhari Sharif, where the scales on the day of qiyamah are spoken about. Here Allah says, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, that we will lay down the scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah, فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. No person will be oppressed in any way. And here ulama have explained the weighing of deeds that will take place. One occasion, there was a very scrawny or thin sahabi who was in the presence of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and the others began to laugh at him, jeer at him, mock at him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked them, that why are you laughing? So they mentioned that his shins or his legs are very thin, very scrawny. What strength is he going to have? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained that although in this world he may be very thin, but in the akhirat, on the day of Qiyamah, this person will be very weighty on the scales of justice. From this ulama explain that it is possible that the person himself will be put onto the scale, and of course it will not be based on his weight in this world. Another hadith Nabi alayhi salam mentioned, يُؤْتَى بِالرَّجُلِ السَّمِينَ, a very hefty, very weighty person or fat person will be brought on the day of Qiyamah, but he will not weigh to the extent of the wing of a mosquito. So it is possible that the person himself will be put onto the scale, and like this, he will then be weighed according to his a'mal. Other view that is mentioned is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh the books of deeds. We know that we have angels who are recording on our right hand side, left hand side. These books of good deeds and evil deeds will then be placed on either side of the scale, and this will then be weighed. And the third view that some have mentioned is that Allah will take the a'mal of insan, our salah, our hajj, our fasting, although these are intangible in this world, but Allah will then take them and give them some form, and this will then be placed on the scales, and these will be weighed. Either way, we understand that a'mal will be weighed. وَإِن كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا. Allah says, if the deed that a person carried out in this world had to be to the extent or the size of a mustard seed, we will bring it on the day of Qiyamah. That will also be weighed. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. Allah says, leave it to us to take account of every single person for his hisab to be taken, his deeds to be weighed. And thereafter we continued or we completed Surah Al-Anbiya and commenced with Surah Al-Hajj. Just one verse and we'll terminate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the fickle nature of insan, that a person's iman, and this is what ulama say, is known as halat or mahol ka iman. A person's iman is based on the environment or based on the conditions that come upon him. This is not the iman that is the objective or the goal. Our iman should be constant. Our trust upon Allah should be constant regardless of our conditions. Here Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, from amongst the people, مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ. There are those who worship Allah whilst they are on the edge. In other words, they are about to fall into the abyss of kufr. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explains that in those days when Islam had become widespread and the Sahaba had now won many battles and a lot of mali ghanimat, spoils of war, had come into Medina, and it was now looked at as a very profitable religion to enter into. So people would come from the outskirts, they would come to Medina, and then they would say to one another that we'll stay here for a trial period. If our animals are growing nicely, our animals now give birth, our wives fall pregnant, our business starts to do well, and things are going smoothly for us, then this is a very good deen. هَذَا دِينٌ صَالِحٌ. We'll remain upon the deen of Islam. But if we find things are different, our animals are not prospering, our business is not doing well, conditions are difficult, then هَذَا دِينُ سُوءٌ. This must be a very evil deen, it must be a false deen, and we will leave the fold of Islam. And like this, many people had come and this had happened to them. So Allah cautions us against this, that do not worship Allah, do not have iman that is on the edge. Rather, your iman should be constant. Whether a person is in prosperity, adversity, whether it is a moment of happiness, a moment of sadness, but a person's iman remains constant. Yes, our feelings, emotions will fluctuate, but our belief and our trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should remain constant. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about the incident of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the amal of qurbani. A person sacrifices an animal, and that will be in approximately 2.5 months time, where Eid al-Adha will take place, qurbani will take place. But what Allah draws our attention to, and the same lesson is brought into Ramadan, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. In Qurbani, like in the month of Ramadan, it is not the action itself, it is not the blood or the meat of the animal that reaches Allah, it's not our fasting, our taraweeh, our tilawat that reaches Allah, وَلَكِ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It is the taqwa, the consciousness, the trust upon Allah, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person has in his heart, this will reach Allah and this will now dictate the reward that a person will get from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.